RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia frees 24 Indonesian detained in Yemen. Economy in brief. Woman in global business has Indonesia branch. Now the news in details. The government has rescued 23 Indonesian students and a housemate detained by the security in Yemen due to violation of immigration or residencies law. Director of Protection's Legal Aid for Indonesia of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Indonesia, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, to the RRI World Service in Jakarta on Tuesday said that all Indonesians who have been released by the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia are staying in the Indonesian Embassy in Sana'a before being evacuated and sent home.
Mereka memang berasal dari luar Sana'a, tapi kemudian karena tidak ada izin tinggal, mereka nginap.
They came from outside Sana'a, but then because there is no residence permit, they stay in some mosque. So they were arrested, more because of immigration violation, and we have explained them that we could not immediately visit them because the conditions were very difficult in Sana'a. As there was a chance, friends from the embassy went to the prisons, and alhamdulillah, within 2 days, we have freed 21 people, so a total of 23 Indonesians are free, plus one Indonesian housemate we met in one prison. All of them are now in the embassy. Furthermore, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal said the Indonesian embassy in Sana'a is located near the presidential palace in Yemen that currently dominated by Sa'te rebel group Al-Houthi. However, according to Iqbal, although embassy in Sana'a was open for evacuation, but all government activities will temporarily be controlled by the Indonesian ambassador, Wajid Fauzi, from Salalah City, located on the border of Yemen and Oman. Government of Indonesia in Jakarta is still waiting a decision from the ambassador, Wajid Fauzi, who is assigned to perform communication with the Yemeni authorities in order to decide the evacuation step, whether by land or air. Iqbal confirmed that 141 from 4,159 Indonesian citizens in Yemen have returned to Indonesia in early March, and about 230 others are still waiting for the return schedule. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grigson and Indonesian Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujiastuti launched in Jakarta on Tuesday the Indonesian chapter of Women in Global Business, the Australian Embassy said in a statement. Ambassador Grigson said he was proud to launch the first chapter outside Australia. Ambassador Grigson added that Women in Global Business Indonesia will provide women entrepreneurs a safe and secure international business network. Women are key drivers of economic growth in Indonesia, and this program will empower many to start their own businesses or expand them into international markets. The program includes mentoring programs to build vital skills and networks. It also includes workshops, events, and research in the barriers affecting women and the motivations of women engaged in international markets. On the activist front, it promotes advocacy on the domestic and international stage. Women in Global Business is an initiative supported by Australian state and territory governments. Businesses owned and operated by women is one of the fastest-growing business segments. Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman said Indonesia will import double refined sugar for industry, not white or raw sugar, as widely reported. The minister criticized the mass media for the inaccuracy of reporting, saying the mass media say only sugar that the public interpreted as white sugar. Amran said the country needs white sugar and refined sugar to feed industries such as beverage industry. He said the country's production capacity of white sugar is 2.7 million tons per year as against consumption of 4.8 million to 5 million tons a year. Imports are certainly needed, but the type of sugar to be imported is double refined sugar for industry. Central Java Governor Ganjar Pranowo said that imports should be made after all farmer sugar has been used. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani has launched 5 kinds of medicinal herbs or jamu that pass a scientification process. The herbs have been proven to contain medicinal properties and are safe for consumption. In addition, Government Regulation No. 103/2014 on traditional healthcare services also regulates medicinal herbs. For this purpose, the Ministry of Health has, since 2010, organized a program to study and scientifically recognize medicinal herbs that contain healing properties. The program covers both upstream and downstream scientific activities to prove the safety, properties and quality of all herbal ingredients from medicinal plants in Indonesia. So far, the safety, properties and quality of 5 jamu, namely those for hemorrhoids, dyspepsia, osteoarthritis, light hypertension and hyperuricemia, have been proven. This news has come to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The General Elections Commission KPU says 68 regions have not allocated budgets for regional elections in December. KPU Chairman Husni Kamil Manik said, the heads of the regions would see their tenors end in the first half of 2016, so they had not allocated budgets for elections this year. The KPU is scheduled to organize 273 concurrent regional elections in December. Candidates should register as early as June. Some regions will hold election early, while others will delay due to the new simultaneous election system. Husni said he hoped the Home Ministry could push the regions to create the fiscal space required. The Batam organizing agency BP Batam has promoted the Free Port Area and Free Trade Batam to British entrepreneurs in efforts to boost foreign investment in the region. Director of the One Stop Integrated Services and Public Relations Officers of BP Batam, Dwi Joko Wiwoho, sat on Batam on Monday that on Thursday, a meeting between BP Batam with British businessmen in collaboration with the British Chambers of Commerce was held in Jakarta. Some of them expressed their interest to invest and they will follow it up. The goal is purely to help members of the Bridge Camp in business development organization, including in starting a business activity. In addition, around 30 British entrepreneurs also attended the business gathering. Besides trying to accelerate ratification of 2015 city budget, the Jakarta provincial government also started to draft the 2016 city budget, Antara News reported. The drafting of the 2016 city budget has been ongoing since Tuesday, marked by the holding of the city-level regional development planning forum, Musrembang. The city's regional secretary, Saifullah, claimed that the accelerations of the 2015 city budget ratification is being run simultaneously with the drafting of the 2016 city budget. There are two processes which run simultaneously. First, they want to finish the 2015 city budget. Secondly, the process of 2016 city budget draft will ongoing after that. Saifullah also said that the drafting process of 2016 city budget started by holding Musrembang activity in 5 Jakarta administration cities alternately. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nugo Kusumawati.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Saving Indonesian Citizens in Yemen. Listener, Indonesian citizens in conflict areas in Yemen are increasingly threatened by Saudi Arabian coalition airstrikes against Houthi rebel enclaves. The armed conflict in Yemen between Shiite rebel forces, Houthi and Arab coalition forces led by the Saudi Arabia threatening the fate of Indonesian citizens in the country. The Indonesian Embassy in Beirut Street, Fajr Atan Hada Diplomatic Area, Sana'a, is also at a risk of becoming victims of the bombing of the coalition forces because it is near the UN Presidential Palace dominated by the rebels. The coalition forces launched a military offensive to a number of cities in Yemen since last Thursday. The attacks were at the request of Abdul Rabu Mansur Hadi, the Yemeni president who fled to Saudi Arabia after the Houthi forces, allegedly supported by Iran, launched an attack to Aden. The Foreign Affairs Ministry said there are no longer safe places in Yemen. Therefore, thousands of Indonesian citizens are encouraged to return to Indonesia. Some time ago, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Tejo Edi Purdiatno, confirmed the government has managed to evacuate 148 Indonesian citizens in Yemen. Thus, there are still more than 4,159 Indonesians who are waiting to be evacuated to the country. The news about the condition of Indonesian citizens in Yemen is getting alarming after there was information on 24 Indonesians arrested by the Houthi rebel forces. Even though the information is not certain yet, it has already made Indonesian citizens in Yemen and their families in Indonesia worried. Vice President Yusuf Kalla had promised to repatriate all Indonesian citizens who were trapped in the armed conflict in Yemen. Kalla said that he had contacted the Indonesian embassy in Yemen to periodically evacuate the Indonesian citizens in the country. He said that if they cannot be repatriated, the citizens will be evacuated temporarily to another country. The question is, how is the evacuation or rescue efforts that will be carried out by the Indonesian government towards those who are trapped in the conflict? Almost all access, air, sea and land have been damaged and controlled by the rebel groups. The conditions of Indonesian citizens there are exacerbated by the difficulty of getting groceries. Therefore, better ways to save them are badly needed. The Indonesian government could not rely solely on the staff offices there. Their number is very limited and the inconducive conditions on the ground will surely hinder the process of evacuation. The Indonesian government might be able to imitate some of the countries which send evacuation teams such as Pakistan to help the rescue process. This certainly requires a process and substantial funds, but it must be remembered that the safety of Indonesian citizens in Yemen is the responsibility of the country. So, whatever it costs, they should be saved. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from April 1, 1933, the establishment of Soloshe as RFI Foreign Exchange Radio, the first Indonesian-owned radio station. In the Dutch East India's colonial era, a radio broadcast, namely Bataviasi, Radio Vereniging, BRV in Batavia and Old Jakarta, which was firstly established on June 16, 1925. The radio broadcast in Indonesia during the first colonization has private stages. Since the existence of BRV, then appeared other radio stations, among others, Netherlands, Indonesia, Radio Omroep Mi, Nirom in Jakarta, Bandung and Medan, as well as Soloshe Radio Vereniging SRV in Surakarta. Among the radio broadcasts, Nirom is the largest and most complete, as it got full support from the Dutch government and helped to strengthen the occupation of the Dutch East Indies. It was different with other radio stations that formed as private associations, especially those organized by indigenous people, whereas the life depend on dues from members. One of them is Soloshe Radio Vereniging SRV, as the pioneer of radio broadcasting emergence of the Indonesian nation, which was founded on April 1, 1933 by Mangkunegoro VII, a nobleman of Solo, along with Sarsito Mangunkusumo.
On April 1, 1946, tragedy of earthquake in Alert Islands. This earthquake, followed by tsunami that spread throughout the Pacific. Alaska Aleutian earthquake, measuring 7.8 on the Richter scale, with its center at coordinates 52.8 degrees north latitude, 163.5 degrees west longitude, and the depth of 25 kilometers. This earthquake killed 165 people, 159 people in Hawaii, and 6 people in Alaska. The quake caused damage worth $26 million. The earthquake destroying the Scotch Cap Lighthouse in Unimak Island, Alaska, and killed 5 lighthouse keepers. The disaster encouraged the formation of seismic sea wave warning system, which later became the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center in 1949. According to some scientists, the tsunami caused by submarine landslides of Alert earthquake. Now we conclude today's segment of Today in History on April 1, 1979. Iranian Revolution, also known as the Islamic Revolution, was the revolution that changed Iran from monarchy under Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, became an Islamic Republic led by Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, the leader of the revolution and founder of the Islamic Republic. The revolution, often called the Third Great Revolution in history. After the French and Bolshevik Revolution, a span of the revolution in January 1978, with the first major demonstrations, were closed by the approval of a new theocratic constitution, where Khomeini became a supreme leader of the country in December 1979. Earlier, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi left Iran and underwent exile in January 1979 after going strikes and demonstrations that paralyzed the country. On February 1, 1979, Ayatollah Khomeini returned to Tehran. Final downfall of the Pahlavi dynasty occurred on February 1, in which the armed forces of Iran declared itself to be neutral, after guerrillas and rebel forces defeated troops who loyal to the Shah in the battle. Iran officially became an Islamic Republic on April 1, 1979, when the majority of Iranians agreed it through the national referendum. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Void Green. Today's edition entitled Tripaswam Area of Aceh Become a Conservation Area. Listener, after years of struggle through legal channels, the provincial government of Aceh finally declared Tripaswam Area as a protected area. This was said by Tripaswam Rescue Coalition team, as quoted by Equatorial News website. In 2012, the Tripaswam became an international headline after a major fire occurred in the entire region. Indonesia's commitment to protect forests and reduce greenhouse gas emissions is questionable due to the incident. Therefore, environmental lover groups filed a lawsuit against the legal permission to open oil palm plantations issued by Aceh Province to PT Kalista Alam. The suit succeeded to make Aceh Governor revoke the licenses of the company in 2012. The protection to 1,445 hectares of peat is marked not only by putting up a board as boundary area and planting trees, but also blocking 18 illegal channels. Head of Aceh Forestry Office, Samaun Husaini, said that the Aceh Provincial Government has committed to protect all peat land to a depth of more than 3 meters. Husaini said the court's decision clearly stated that the region should be returned to its former condition. More than 60,000 trees have been planted in the region. 120,000 trees are scheduled to be planted next month. Nyoman Suryadiputra, head of the International Wetland Indonesia, said
that it is essential to block illegal channels because not only protecting the people from disasters, but also to provide livelihood and also prevent the release of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. In its natural state, the peat swamp area such as Tripa, 80 to 90% is fresh water. Drainage channels damage water regulatory function, causing flash floods and droughts, and extremely harmful to biodiversity and livelihoods. Meanwhile, Ian Singleton from Sumatran Orangutan Conservation Program emphasized the need to protect biodiversity that has been destroyed by the plantation activity. According to Singleton, in early 90s, the Tripa forest covered more than 60,000 hectares and protected approximately 3,000 orangutans, tigers, and countless of other rare species. Most of them are entirely dependent on a swamp forest habitat for survive. Currently, according to Singleton, orangutans in Tripa left only 100 to 200 individuals. Although supporting the big step of blocking and recovery of the canal, Rudison of Loiser Conservation Forum Aceh criticized Aceh special plans that could potentially open Loiser ecosystem for oil palm concessions and mining. According to Rudison, the community should urge the government to immediately review the provincial special land use. He also does not allow the damage of Loiser ecosystem further to prevent thoroughly, such as preventing an environmental disaster in the future. That was Voy Green.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Wednesday, April the 1st, 2015. I'm Dalat Pani. We begin with Kompas newspaper. Kompas, in its headline, writes, "Drug eradication is earnest." In the middle of the President Joko Widodo's commitment to combat drug trafficking indiscriminately in the country, the efforts to the eradication of the illicit goods and the treacherous is earnest. 10 suspected drug dealers, some high profile, escaped from the custody of the National Narcotics Agency on Tuesday, March 31, 2015. By using a hacksaw, the 10 prisoners of the National Narcotics Agency were breaking into the air holes or roster at the back part of the building of the National Narcotics Agency and Drug Directorate of Police of the Republic of Indonesia in Cawang, East Jakarta. The escape of the prisoners was discovered on Tuesday around 3 a.m. The escaped prisoners were involved in a number of methamphetamine distribution networks in Aceh, Jakarta, and Cawang. All prisoners are under death sentence. The head of public relations of the National Narcotics Agency, Commissioner Slamet Pribadi, said all officers in the building of the National Narcotics Agency detention were examined by the Inspectorate of the National Narcotics Agency. Media Indonesia Daily, in its headlines, writes, "Indonesian Port Corporation realizes sea toll." As the proof of the seriousness of Indonesia to make sea toll project, the government has spent 7.9 trillion rupiah this year. In its grand scheme of Indonesia's marine highway project, the port is the central point. Therefore, the government set 24 ports throughout Indonesia to support the program. There are 4 ports, namely Belawan, Tanjung Priuk, Tanjung Perak, and Makassar, which become the main ports. To achieve reliability, frequency, and efficiency as a prerequisite for lowering logistics costs, according to the Directorate of Pelindo II, Richard George Lino, to 24 ports that will change the function. Some are designed as a collection point or hub. However, there is little that would be a liaison only. Meanwhile, Tempo, in its headline, writes, "Indonesian National Army involved in hunting terrorists." Indonesian National Army plans to deploy a battalion team rapid reaction strike force in Poso, Central Sulawesi. According to the Indonesian Armed Forces Commander, General Muldoko, the stationing of the troops in the area known as the base of a terrorist Santoso group alias Abu Warda was already reported to President Joko Widodo. Muldoko in Poso on Tuesday said that when necessary, there are rapid reaction strike force living in Poso to continue operating with the police. Muldoko also said the president agreed. Although the president has given the green light, Muldoko said the operation was not yet final. Indonesian National Armed Forces are still reviewing the condition of Poso. On Thursday, March 31, 2015, Muldoko opened the Rapid Reaction Strike Force Exercise 2015 involving 3,200 personnel of the Indonesian Armed Forces of the three forces that are located in the Biru Mountains, Poso, which is known as the hiding place of Santoso. Police accuses Santoso as the leader of the East Network of Mujahideen Indonesia to the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, allegedly involved in a number of terror in Poso and surrounding areas. Santoso hunted for years. We end with the headlines from Republika. The newspaper writes blocking evaluated. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla ordered the Ministry of Communications and Information reviewing the blocking of 22 sites for assessed spreading radical Islam. The Vice President considered there are several of the sites that are not associated with radicalism. The Vice President also asked the Ministry of Communications and Information Technology not to accept reports to block the Islamic sites. When the content is checked, Kalla asked the blocking should be done beforehand. According to Kalla, not all sites contain radical Islam. However, if it is proved to contain radical content, the government should block it. Based on the request of the National Counterterrorism Agency, Ministry of Communication and Information Technology announced the blocking of 19 websites which were assessed spreading radicalism content. Well, listener, that was the headlines of several newspapers published in Jakarta today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back, one listener. Here is news in brief. The government has rescued 23 Indonesian students and a housemate detained by the security in Yemen due to violation of immigration or residency laws. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grigson and Indonesian Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti launched in Jakarta on Tuesday the Indonesian chapter of Women in Global Business, the Australian Embassy said in statement. Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman said, Indonesia will import double refined sugar for industry, not white or raw sugar, as widely reported. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, has launched 5 kinds of medicinal herbs that pass a scientific assurance process. The General Elections Commission, KPU, says 68 regions have not allocated budgets for regional elections in December. The Batam organizing agency, BP Batam, has promoted the Free Port Area and Free Trade Batam to British entrepreneurs in efforts to boost foreign investment in the region. Besides trying to accelerate ratification of 2015 city budget, the Jakarta provincial governments also start to draft the 2016 city budget, Antara News reported. Listener, that was News in Brief of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 95.25 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In today's edition, I will invite you to visit West Sumatra Province. Stay tuned. West Sumatra province is rich with delicious and spicy food. The people and the region of West Sumatra are also called Minang or Minangkabau or Padang, referring to the capital city of the province. Because of the delicious and spicy food, almost people in Indonesia, even in the world, love Minang food, which is usually known as Masakan Padang, or in English, means Padang food. This food is usually sold at Padang restaurants throughout Indonesia and even in the world. The menu served at Minang restaurant is various, such as rendang or spicy meat dish, gajebo or spicy meat curry, gulai jengkol or dogfood curry, and many more. Actually, there is also Minang food which is also delicious, savory, and appetizing, namely pangek. Generally, pangek is one of Minangkabau or Padang typical food. Although it is not as famous as rendang, which according to a survey by CNN is the most delicious food in the world, pangek is usually served as daily food in local households. Pangek is also often served as official food in various traditional and religious events. In the past, pangek was often brought by Minang people who would go on Hajj pilgrimage to the Holy Land of Mecca, because pangek can be long-lasting. The food will be more delicious after being heated for several times as the seasoning is increasingly seeping. Pangek does not only mean food, it also means the way of cooking. Pangek is a process to thicken the seasoning and then pour the raw material to be cooked. In the past, the container of the food was stoneware and made from clay. The food was cooked on wooden stove. Pangek is made from various raw materials, which will become position of pangek's name. The main raw material is sea or fresh fish. Pangek, which is made from fish, is called pangek masin or fish pangek. If it is made of pili fish, it is called pangek sumpu. If it is from fish egg, it is called pangek talua ikan, or in English means pangek egg fish. And there are many other kinds of pangek. Listener, from various kinds of pangek, pangek ikan masin is more popular. Pangek ikan masin is made of golden fish, which is cooked with coconut milk with refined seasoning. Then, it is added with tamarind and lime leaves. It is rich with spices, especially curcuma. This food is eaten with rice. The fish combining with the seasoning tastes sour and spicy. The price of this food is quite cheap. Pangek can be found at Minang restaurants. Listener, that was our segment, Indonesian Wonder. Let's meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, we'll meet again in Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces you to vocabulary and expression Indonesian language and its use in conversation. Today's topic is menyiapkan pernikahan. Menyiapkan pernikahan, or in English means preparing wedding party. So stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to some of vocabulary and expression in Indonesian which related to today's conversation. I will say every word or expression two times slowly and you can repeat after me. Menyiapkan, which means to prepare. Pernikahan, which means wedding. Akhir-akhir ini, which means recently. Aku, or saya, which means I. Adik perempuan, which means younger sister. Kapan, which means when. Hari pernikahan, which means wedding day. Tanggal, which means date. 20, which means 20. April, which means April. 2015, which means 2015. Pukul 7 malam, which means at 7 p.m. Berharap, which means hope. Hadir, to be present. Resepsi, which means reception. Kirim, which means to send. Undangan, which means invitation. Which means invitation. Segera, which means soon. Tunggu, which means wait. Now we give you an example of a conversation between Weni or A and Yanti or B. I will say every sentence two times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Halo Weni, sudah lama tidak berjumpa. Which means, Halo Weni, long time no see you. Apa kabar? Which means, how are you? B. Kabar baik. Which means, I'm fine. A. Apakah kamu ada kesibukan akhir-akhir ini? Which means, have you been busy lately? B. Ya, aku sedang sibuk menyiapkan pernikahan adik perempuanku. Which means, yes, I've been preparing my younger sister's wedding. A. Kapan hari pernikahannya? Which means, when is her wedding? B. Bulan depan, tanggal 20 April 2015, pukul 7 malam. Bulan depan, tanggal 20 April 2015, pukul 7 malam. Which means, next month, on April 20, 2015 at 7 p.m. Aku berharap kamu bisa hadir di resepsi pernikahan tersebut. Which means, I hope you can come to the wedding room. I hope you can come to the wedding reception. A. Aku pasti hadir. Which means, sure, I'll come. Tolong kirim undangan untukku, which means, please send the invitation to me. B. Baiklah, nanti aku kirim segera, which means, okay, I'll send it soon. A. Ya, aku tunggu, sampai ketemu nanti, which means, okay, I'll wait, see you later. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today, we'll introduce you to two music groups, namely Velvet and The Aryans. Now we'll take you to listen a song from Velvet Group that was formed in 2001, the song entitled Cintailah Aku. Just listen to the song from Velvet entitled Cintailah Aku. Velvet in Indonesian means beludru.
so it is soft and elegant thing. Beginning from a group of the youth in Bandung who have the same purposes in the music. The band was formed since 2001, which was initiated from friendship to try their career at band parades, band festivals, and cafes. There has been change the basis, but finally after they found harmony among the personnel, then on January the 1st, 2004, they was officially formed the Velvet Band with the latest formation, Danny, the vocalist, Pedro, the guitarist, Angga, the guitarist, Teddy, the bassist, and Pupung, the drummer. Listener, coming up next, let's listen to a song, Memang Pantas, as a hit song of Velvet. Happy listening.
Engkau memang pantas untuk disukai. Oh, memang pantas untuk disayangi. Hati ini tak akan pernah terbagi, walau nanti datang seorang bidadari. Aku akan selalu tetap menyayangi. Ku akan selalu tetap
the song Memang Pantas by Velvet Band. Now we take you to look another Indonesian band, namely the Aryans. The band, which was established in 2007, supporting pop universal flag as its idealism. The nuance of pop universal was clearly felt in their song entitled Pemuja Cinta. The song, popularly known in a new band compilation album produced by EMI Music Indonesia, launched in the middle of August 2008. The album, The Aryans, also brought a song, Salahkah, as their second single. The personnel of The Aryans consists of Abu, the vocalist, Fagi, the bassist, Wisnu, the drummer, who become the early founders of the establishment of The Aryans. Later, The Aryans has new members, namely Wendy and Angga, the guitarist, who joined the complete the band formation that still exists up to this time. Well, listener, to conclude today's music corner, let's listen to two songs by The Aryans, entitled Pemuja Cinta and Satu Hari Nanti. Happy listening and sampai jumpa!
Tak dapat berlari dari dirinya, cintaku tak dapat berpaling dari wajahnya. Hanya karena cinta kulakukan semua, hanya karena cinta. Ah, na 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 na.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Oh Tuhanku, kabulkan satu pintaku. Ku ingin jalani hidup bersama dengannya sampai akhir hayatku nanti. Ku kan tetap menyayangi, ku kan tetap melindungi selama hidupku ini. Walau badai menghantamku, menyiksaku, menggoyahkanku, ku akan selalu bertahan. Bila nanti kau jadi istriku, ingatkan segala hilafku hingga ku
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.